he actually does things. He actually accomplishes things. And I talk. Every year, everyone, year after year, survey after survey, when people are asked the question, if there was anyone in history you could spend 1 hour with, anyone, year after year, survey after survey, the raging, great, highest percentage, most common answer is Jesus. If you could spend 1 hour with anyone, people say it would be with Jesus. That's what Eucharistic adoration is. We as Catholics don't have to sit there if we could. Then the Eucharist is Jesus. We can spend 1 hour with the person everybody in the world wishes they could. That's what Eucharistic adoration is. Whatever you're thinking it is, if you haven't, if you're considering it and you might be a bit intimidated by it, people, Eucharistic adoration is about being with Jesus for an hour. It's about being with Jesus for an hour in the most special way we can on this earth with his mysterious presence in the Eucharist. Doesn't that sound like fun? Everyone, when I was in first grade, I loved chocolate snack pack pudding. My brother, my good brother, even had some for me over here when I showed up. If you had asked me in first, I would, in Telfer grade school, I would trade my whole sandwich for Steve Johnston's snack pack pudding. I even had a dream about him last night. He took advantage of my attachment, by the way. We come from a dairy farm. When I got to high school, if you had asked me what heaven's like, in first grade, I would have said heaven involved snack pack pudding somehow. When I got to high school and junior high, we milk cows every single day. If you had asked me, what is heaven like? I would have said, whatever it's like, it doesn't involve milking cows. And when I got older, young adult, when I thought of heaven, I thought of, we're German-Russian people from down south. I thought heaven has to include somehow a Quonset, polka music, and red eye. Right? Dear people, we have to get really clear about heaven. Heaven is being with Jesus. You understand? One goes to heaven when they have a relationship with Jesus, because that's what heaven is. And it continues after death. Heaven is relationship with Jesus. Heaven is being with God. If I don't enjoy being with God on earth, why would I want to spend eternity being with God? We must never forget that heaven is relationship with God, with being with Jesus. There's nothing greater than being with Jesus, than being with God. It's not a means to some greater good. That is the greatest good. I've been a priest for 21 years, and it's just kind of recently coming to me at how I use Jesus as a means to some other greater good. And until we get that right, you know what our relationship with Jesus is about? Getting around the cross. That somehow heaven is getting around the cross. No, being with Jesus is the greatest, even if it's at the cross. I'm not going to Jesus to somehow get out of suffering. I'm going to Jesus to be with Jesus. And if it's in suffering, okay, I'll be with him in suffering, just so I don't have to not be with Jesus. I'm not making this up. This is our faith. The great conversion is coming to love being with Jesus more and not suffering. I haven't begun my talk yet tonight, in case you're wondering. So if you're thinking about being with Jesus for an hour in Eucharistic adoration, to be loved, to taste his precious presence, and the easiest way on this earth to pray, in my opinion, I've made a holy hour every day for the last 24 years. It's the greatest time of my day, being with Jesus in Eucharistic adoration in his presence. There's nothing greater than his beautiful presence. If you're considering it, Father David, I gave him some cards we put together. I actually stole it from someone else, modified it. But it's, if you were to make a holy hour, what would it look like? We put this together. Grab one on your way out. I think it's helpful for many people. Now, on to my talk. Third talk for this parish mission on the healing power of Jesus in the Eucharistic adoration. I'm going to try to be brief in the review, right? So the diagnosis, this diagnosis where we're no longer able to easily receive what God gives, what happened to Adam and Eve, and we inherited that. So God can be pouring love on us, and we're not tasting it. We're not experiencing it. Like the elder son, like Martha, like Adam and Eve after they sinned. This profound wall that came into the heart with God's heart. That's the diagnosis. Last night, I spoke about remedy part one. Remedy part one, and I hope I was clear enough that the first thing faith does to start receiving from God, because that's what faith does. Faith in it gives me access to God's heart. So what he's giving, I can have. What he's giving him is himself. God isn't like cheap Santa who just gives presents and then goes away with his little reindeer. God gives himself. And so the first part of faith that enables me to grow in this receptivity is to see God as he is, the true God. Not like the pagans, but to somehow be good and then God was good to them. Not our God. Our God is always all-powerful, all-loving, laboring to the point of death to give me what is best for me. To see that. And once my faith sees that, the posture of my heart is, have your way, I want to be vulnerable before you. I'm not afraid of your will. Adam and Eve were afraid of your will. I'm not afraid of your will. Once I see the real God, I just want him to have his way with me. Okay? You guys got me all fired up. And so it's so foolish to pray in a way that's trying to get God to be gooder. It's insulting to him. Right? It's like you parents with teenagers. Imagine. Teenager every day saying, please be good, mom and dad, please be good to me. Mom and dad say, honey, how about this? How about you just accept we are good and everything we do for you is good? How about you just be docile and accept our goodness? Even when you somehow think in your vast experience of 14 years of life, disagree with it. Remedy one is what the father is doing to the elder son, trying to get the elder son to wake up. I have given you everything. If you're laboring to try to get me to be good to you, stop it now. You're insulting me. That's remedy one. Now on to remedy two. So I want to get, that's kind of theoretical, right? It's kind of theological. Kind of brilliant, isn't it? And then, we want to get to remedy two. I want to get really concrete, dear people. I want you, by the time you leave tonight, after this holy mass, that you know concretely what one chooses to do to receive from God by faith, to exercise a receptive faith. Because receptivity isn't passivity. It isn't laying in bed, God make breakfast for me. It's an active receptivity. The church condemned fideism, quietism, where I do nothing. This is active receptivity, but it's led by faith, by grace. Not by what was leading Martha or leading the elder son. So, I want this to be clear. I don't want anybody leaving tonight not having clarity. Because if I could give one talk ever for the rest of my life, it would be this. Faith receives, dear people, listen closely. Faith receives from God. Faith enables my heart to receive from God. Listen closely. Because faith first relates and opens my heart and brings my heart to God. Faith that doesn't relate to God, that doesn't turn to God, that doesn't come to God, that doesn't long to God, that doesn't relate to God, doesn't reach out to God, isn't faith. Faith makes my heart turn and reach out to God. Don't go to sleep yet. I'm going to get more concrete. You're going to understand this. Listen, I want you all to think about this. The devil thinks about God all the time. Thinking about God isn't faith. Did you hear me? The devil thinks about God all the time. The devil has all kinds of feelings about God all the time. The devil receives nothing from God because he won't bring them to God and be vulnerable before him. The elder son had all kinds of thoughts about his father, had all kinds of feelings about his father, wanted all kinds of stuff from his father. But he didn't relate those thoughts, those desires to the father. He was stuck in himself. That is why we can't receive, because we don't relate. St. Augustine, in 22 years of education, I went to school for 22 years. Can you believe that? I should know more than I do. If I think about it, I just, jeez. But for 22 years, one of the most important things I learned are there's two things from St. Augustine. I can only share one tonight. Is his definition of what the spirit of evil is like in you and me. What the movement of evil is like. What the movement of sin is like. What the movement of this thing is that prevents us from receiving what the Lord is doing for us. He says, evil is a movement in us that is incurvatus est in se. Incurvatus est in se. That's Latin, which I love using in talks. You guys think I'm a little smarter just by saying some Latin, right? Incurvatus est in se, which is this. It's Latin for curved in on itself. The movement of the enemy, which prevents us from receiving from God, is a movement that curves me in on myself. So I have thoughts, and they're just curved in on me. I have desires, but they're just, I get stuck in them. And all my thoughts, all my desires, all my feelings are just curved in on me. That hell is trapped in oneself. And the way to receive what God is doing is by faith, acknowledging, humbly acknowledging my thoughts, my feelings, and my desires. Humbly acknowledging them and honestly and vulnerably relating them to God in a consistent, meaningful manner. The deeper my faith, the deeper I will relate, and the deeper I will relate, the deeper I will receive. The deeper my faith, the deeper I will relate, and the deeper I will receive. The elder son and Martha are stuck in themselves. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, what did they do? They hid. What is the first thing God does? To engage them in relationship. Adam, where are you? Come on. Talk to me. Why are you hiding? You need me. To receive from God, dear people, is to acknowledge my thoughts, my desires, and to bring them to God in faith, who is right here with his heart, wanting to pour mercy into me. So when you have all, imagine the script of your thoughts and desires and feelings in one day. Imagine them. Imagine how many of them you keep to yourself. Incurvatus est in se. Never bring them. It's that simple and that difficult.
One of my favorite theologians who has taught me more practical theology than anyone is a woman named Mary Splunskowski Richter, a.k.a. my mom. And when I was a little kid, and my brothers would be mean to me, my older ones, not Dave, of course, and I would get hurt, or I would wipe out on my trike, or I would skin my knee on something, and I would be crying. And sometimes you remember how you can cry so much you lose your breath. And so I would run to mom crying. And mom would simply pat me on my shoulders, grab my face, look at me, and say, "Tom, tell me where it hurts." That is God for the human heart. To the degree we can acknowledge and open that up, we will receive from God. To the degree we can't admit it and open it up, we will cover it up with false consolation. Booze, TV, Facebook, distraction, distraction, distraction. And the thought of making a holy hour scares the heebie-jeebers out of us. Because what am I going to do? Stuck in myself for an hour. The movement that prevents receiving from God is curved in on myself. My thoughts, me having a conversation with me about me, to me. And it's not just bad, it's also good, sharing my joy. If I believe in basic Christian faith that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell within me, I will relate to Him. Imagine if you were with someone 24 hours a day and they actually turned and related to you as much as you relate to God. You'd think they hate you, ignoring you. Faith receives because it first relates. And you can do that, huh? So resentment comes up. You have resentment in your heart about a hurt, about whoever, right? Father David and I are the two middlest children. And you know how middle children are neglected and forgotten and have the hardest life of everyone. If that poor middle child wants to receive the love he didn't get, he still can. Why? Because God's right there. All he has to do is acknowledge it humbly and honestly relate it and bring it to God. Not for 2 seconds, and then go back to ESPN. As long as it's there, he brings it and shares with God what he needs, what he longs for. Dear people, what I'm telling you is true. I tell you that from spiritual theology and from most deep personal experience. You know how lively your faith is by how consistently and meaningfully your heart relates to God who is with you. Thinking about God, not relating to Him, isn't faith. The greatest obstacle to receiving from God is what I call non-relational intellectual activity devoid of an I-thou relationship. Intellectual activity, bunch of thinking, devoid of an I-thou relationship. I'm not thinking with someone. I'm not bringing that to someone. I'm just stuck in myself. That's not the movement of grace. That's the movement of the enemy. Faith breaks out of that and relates to the God who is here, pouring out love, mercy, healing, consolation, light. That's all one has to do at Eucharistic Adoration. It goes on and on and on. I had this dear lady who came to me, engaged couple. She was the bride, which you would expect. Usually the woman is the bride. But in these days, anyway, we're going to have to delete that, Father David. Jeez, I'm getting delirious. That poor thing, so unhappy, and such an angry young lady. She was Catholic, but she wanted nothing to do with the church. But this good man she was marrying, Catholic faith was dear to him, And so she was just going through the ropes for him, but proclaimed herself as agnostic, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I tried to point out, you know, you guys, I think this is going to make it a bit difficult to name the obvious. And so at some point, I just asked her, like, what's up? Why? Why are you so, like, mad at the church, at faith, at sacraments, at your future husband's wanting this sacrament? And that dear lady started opening up. That poor thing had such a terrible childhood. Her parents had so hurt her, neglected her. And then it went from there to men. And she was just crying by the end. And in it all, she said, God didn't help me. Why do I want anything to do with God and the church if he doesn't, he didn't care? And so I had a good day. I said, so young lady, if I'm hearing you rightly, I hear your heart saying, you want to experience that God actually takes care of you. Is that what you're saying? You're saying if you could actually experience that God is good as we claim he is, and he actually shows love to those who are in need and hurting, you would really like to experience that. Is that what I hear? Yeah. I said, okay. So how many times have you brought that desire to God? She said, never. So you think about it a lot. Yeah. So you mean to tell me you want to know, you want to experience God's closeness, his goodness, the fact that he takes care of you, the fact that you're his beloved daughter, he's your dad, and he watches over you. You mean to tell me you're filled with wanting that, but you haven't actually brought that to him? No. I said, okay, good. For your homework, until we meet the next time for marriage prep, 50 times a day, you're going to pray, Jesus, I want to feel your love for me. Jesus, I want to experience your love for me. Jesus, I want you to show me that you take care of me. Take your pick, any one of those 50 times a day. Changed her life. Receiving is about being a child. Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor. Come to me. Come. First movement is come. How many more hours do I have? Is this clear? Listen, people, you can go to church, not exercise faith. You can sit in that pew for years and actually not bring your heart to God. But sit and think. The devil thinks about God all the time. But you can bet your bottom dollar the devil will never say, God, Jesus, right here's a desire in my heart. I give you permission to do whatever you want with it. All I ask, Jesus, is you get your way with this thought in my mind. Jesus, I have a desire for more patience. I get so discouraged how I yell at my kids. But I want more patience. I give that to you. If I lack faith, I desire more patience, and then I just go into in curvatu ses and stay. What's wrong with me? What the hell? I've been doing this for years. Why can't I get more patient? And here's the Blessed Trinity saying, the patience you're looking for, I have. Come to me. Get out of your self, absorbed, trapped in self. Self. What prevents us from receiving is all the selves. Self-pity. Self-will. Self-condemnation. Self-accusation. Self-absorption. Self-condemnation. Let me close with a terribly silly story. Silly example. But in the crowds I run with, it works. Here's what receiving is like. Imagine if at this moment a 500-pound rock fell through this roof of this church onto my foot. See? Told you it's silly. It gets sillier. Imagine if at that moment, through that door, a man runs up right here and says, "Monsignor, you don't know me, but I'm the 500-pound rock-lifting champion of the whole wide world. What would I do?" You know what would happen? I'd have a bunch of thoughts, feelings, and desires around this rock. And they would center around, "Get this rock off my foot. I want this rock off my foot." That's what I would think about. That's what I would feel. That's where all my desires would be. Now, what do you think I would do? Do you think I would start wondering to myself, what book can I read to get this rock off my foot? Or sit and go into some sort of pity party, why do 500-pound rocks always land on my foot and not on Father David's foot? You know what I would do? I would turn. And I would relate those thoughts, those feelings and desires to this person. "Sir, I know you can do this for me. I give you this desire to be freed from this rock." And if he doesn't, I would keep relating to him. And if I came to know he was all-knowing and all-loving and all-powerful and still wasn't doing it, I would now start entering into the mystery of that. So now I would have to go from, "I want this rock off my foot," to, "You love me more than myself. So then why aren't you lifting this? What are you doing for me through that? I want to know." And it would continue to go from there. Do we have faith that relates? Until we do, we're practical atheists. We assent to ideas, but we don't live them. It's ideas, concepts in our minds, but we've never met the real God and have a lived, real relationship with him. If you want a lived, real relationship with God, the best place to start is Eucharistic adoration. For this, it is so easy to relate the heart, the thoughts, the feelings and desires to this Lord. His presence is so tangible. May God grant this parish that wonderful gift in overflowing measure and generosity on your part. Please stand as we offer.